didn't wake up to the pop charts until 1970. The first ever single I got with my pocket money from Woolworths on West Wickham High Street was Down the Dust Pipe by Status Quo, which BBC Radio 1's star turns, Tony Blackburn, couldn't stand. Several months later, with my birthday card dosh, I invested in I Hear You Knocking by Dave Edmunds, which John Lennon said he loved, so we knew it was good. I also bought When I'm Dead and Gone by McGuinness Flint and T-Rex's debut, Ride a White Swan. Singles cost about 7 shillings pre-decimal, 35p. LPs were just under £2. Great Britain went metric a year later.
Will it be
my first LPs were Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon and Garfunkel, Fog on the Time, Lindisfarne, and Wings, Wildlife.
This book's talking about these exact specters. Gave up and let us be. Like I said, there's nothing on this island worth dying for. At least not to an outsider. Hell, gun to my head, I could not find any of home's assets worth martyrdom. To Jonathan, maybe. To the rest of the world, if it's still out there, who knows?
Over the entire southern grasslands by simultaneously annihilating and absorbing the last of the Humanos. A once prominent nation of hunter-traders that vanished from the historical record by 1715. Into this volatile and violent multipolar world came the Comanches, who found both ordeals and
Wardian Row House next to ours in Noe Valley, San Francisco. 2 days.
The ligneous tendrils returned to the nearby tree from whence they came. I'll never get used to that, I thought with a shudder, forcing my gaze away from the two vine-laden trees that flanked me. In any case, after several months of exploring my own galaxy, I'd decided to journey elsewhere. Prior to my deep space daydream, I'd asked the ship's computer to prepare the vessel for a new destination, but none had come to mind. I'd done well in universal geography, but for some reason, I couldn't think of a new location.
And therefore, your exhaustion unable to organize does not surprise me, the computer stated as I smoothed out the hair along my abdomen when one of the bodies alliances with the invaders. Comanches also took advantage of the imperial rivalry between New Spain and New France, playing off the two powers against one another to extort concessions from both. In their quest to carve a living space out of a foreign territory, they had the inestimable advantage of invading an already colonized landscape where territorial arrangements were in a state of flux. And finally,
impossible unusual space. Where could he have gone?
Blinking myself out of my reverie, I attempted to recall the subject at night. Moments ago, I'd informed the artificial intelligence system that I wished to continue my exploration. An unexpected but very familiar pang of loneliness had induced an impromptu daydream. Or in my case, a deep space dream, because that's where I was, deep in outer space. Perhaps you should sleep on it, the computer suggested, as I began to once again contemplate a response.
Ghost was looking out for us. I felt it was the least he could do after trying to murder me as a child.
Curly isn't happy about this fact.
Look alive, Gammas.
Somewhere in my champagne-addled brain,
we should be spotting this black cathedral any time
now. Come of having Harley I
remembered
to
our
my
mission.
Cleavage.
It
Two
was
hours after
mercy.
He was so
we were performing a rogue operation
the
Council of Leaders never would have
drunk Rose
that.
Doesn't
we
care
were just supposed
seasons.
To scout the area, find out the local tribes' numbers and armaments. But one of their chiefs had persuaded us to look into a series of mass kidnappings. Our team wasn't at full strength, only the 6 of us remaining from our original 8-man squad. But the remnant had neglected to reinforce us. We just had to make a
decision.
I'd exceeded our orders by taking us on this investigation, but there had been children involved. Children always changed. They were the one universally precious thing to all of humanity. Whoever was taking slaves from the local villages wanted especially young captives. That was enough to melt even the hardest soldiers.
Sweetheart,
I still don't know why we're looking into a bunch of illiterate savages.
White roses and a spray of Chickasaw. But best of all, we'd say I do in front of our friends and family in a vintage-inspired April afternoon ceremony. There would be an ice cream van on standby for peckish guests, and a four-tiered glass slipper gourmet cake with cascading roses. Peonies and hydrangeas delicately draped all over it. We would dance to our favorite Jeff Buckley song, Lilac Wine, under a sea of stars and paper lanterns at the San Francisco Conservatory of Flowers. Obviously, I'd given a lot of thought to our wedding. Fortunately,
his mind churning on a plan, he braced his hands on his hips and debated how to approach her. Her gaze swung around. Brady sucked in a breath. You would have thought those green eyes the most beautiful he'd ever seen, if they hadn't been glassy with tears. She blinked and looked away. His brain shifted gears as he walked toward her before
Jonathan is a good man, but I do not think he has our individual growth and development in his heart. He loves his home, and, to be fair, his family loves home too. I do not know if he thought it to be wise to give us all of the history of the home we had abandoned initially, while simultaneously abandoning the massive yield of technology that seemed to exist concurrently. But it is what it is. No one ever really brought it up. A few classmates maybe, but to my knowledge, personally, only me and Meg ever seemed to feel for this time before us, or still alongside us, existing somewhere away from our home. I don't know. Before home, Jonathan tells us that life was good. Do not mistake our mission. But we sought the greater, more fulfilling aspects of life on this rock. So they escaped the place of their birth on a small commandeered vessel belonging to a nation's military. The first few weeks of home, Jonathan tells us that bad men would come and hurt members of our family. Eventually, they subsided due to Jonathan's and the others' stubbornness.
Marcus cackled in his way that made his head lower and his neck stiffen. With that ridiculous mohawk, he already looked like a rooster. But his signature laugh move completed the effect. Unlike most people who claimed not to care what other people think, Marcus gave no shifts at all about public opinion.
Sometimes this is a kindest. Light with all its unyielding brilliance can be a harsh judge, laying bare the imperfections of the world. Its absence, even if only to a very minor degree, can often leave one with a softer, more pleasant impression of a person or a place. Imperfections obscure, irregularities vanish, and the flawed becomes perfection merely with a little assistance from the imagination. And then there are the bad places.
What you got going on this weekend?
She drew in a breath as burlesque-style music burst from the sound system. Its throbbing beat, her cue to exit in a hail of
maybe drive down to Denver and hit up some bars.
In her siren,
but nothing planned, really.
Don't fail me now.
They never could stand to see a
she burst out of the cake in one twist. Just close your eyes and do it motion.
You all right?
And the crowd in the dimly lit bar erupted in appreciative applause. Confetti flew everywhere. Through the air, down the lane.
He senses a tingling.
Into her cleavage.
He flips on the dome.
The rhythmic thump of the music seeped under his skin.
Each the size of a piece. They're spilling over his knees, pushing up inside his pants. The things look like they're bred for war, jagged, black bodies with yellow stripes, long, spiny legs like needlepoint. He freaks, cranks the wheel, flips down and
bangs.
After they pried him out of the wreckage and after he stopped ranting,
she shimmied over the rim and down to the second layer. Her eyes scanned the crowd, hoping for a glimpse of the birthday bad boy. But without her glasses, she couldn't see past the last layer of the cake. Then a slow, measured move. At the blurred perimeter of the spotlight, caught her attention. Nick Wright. He stood apart from the lively crowd, his hands buried deep in the pockets of his dark, sleek pants. And for a second, she literally stopped breathing. Behind the mask, her eyes drifted a shade lower. He was just. Wow. The whole tall, dark, and handsome package.
with a set of incredibly broad shoulders that made a girl. The room grew quiet. All attention focused on her as she moved to the next tier. She stumbled briefly, a small mistake that she caught quickly enough to be sure no one had noticed. Perched safely on the second tier, she drew in a breath and started to sing in her best Maryland.
Actually, the phone probably was bugged, but I was confident the people doing it could just as easily do a Frank Campo. I clicked on the radio, hoping to keep the fear at bay via distraction. I got a local right-wing talk radio program. I'm here to tell you, immigration, it's like rats on a ship. America is the ship, and all these rats are coming on board. Y'all. And you know what happens when a ship gets too many rats on board? It sinks. That's what. I wondered if a ship had ever really sunk that way. I wondered what was giving my truck that rotten egg smell. I wondered if the gun was still under the driver's seat. I wondered, was there something moving back there in the darkness? I glanced in my rearview mirror. No, a trick of the shadows. I thought of Frank Campo. Frank was an attorney heading...
especially in the Precambrian strata, of which so narrow a range of Antarctic specimens had previously been secured. We wished also to obtain as great as possible a variety of the upper fossiliferous rocks, since the primal life history of this bleak realm of ice and...
We could not afford to waste drilling depth on any considerable amount of mere glaciation, though Pabody had worked out a plan for seeking copper electrons in thick clusters of borings and melting...